I don't think these people understand that these videos are the building block. These videos are what inspired people, what pulled people to do cardistry, and they're just taking them down like they're nothing. And they aren't nothing. No matter what you say, they're not nothing. These videos shape people's lives.
That was Reggie the Cardist. You may know him from his Cardistry compilation and Cardistry archive accounts, as well as just being a super active member of the Cardistry community. I'm super excited for you to hear his thoughts on Cardistry and his thoughts on how he's been running Cardistry Archive and the importance of video preservation. I hope you guys really enjoy this episode. I know I did, and let's just jump into it.
For those of you that don't know, Reggie runs Cardistry Archive, which kind of collects older videos that are harder to find or are purposely trying to be hidden away. So what has it been like running that account, and what have been kind of like some of the stresses, some of the good things about it?
I can't name names. I can't name names of the people who aren't very happy with it because there are people who don't really want their videos up, and I get that. That's why I put it in the bio that I will take down your videos, or I'll take down your videos if you really want them, because I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to be a pariah in the community. I just want everybody to be happy, and that's the best system I could design. So Cardistry Archive started in March of 2022, I think. It was me. I started it mainly as a resource for me because originally I was collecting videos just for myself, and I'd upload them unlisted to my YouTube channel. In fact, you could probably still find some of those videos uploaded unlisted or just put in playlists randomly. So if you ever start a Reggie Archive, I'm telling you where to look. But yeah, I started doing that. Back then, my main source was Chinese YouTube, Bilibili, Youku. If you're an active archivist who takes videos, then yeah, that you'll know who what Bilibili and Youku are. So yeah, I use those to find deleted videos. And then I discovered some other tricks, which I'll get into later. So if anybody's watching, they're gonna start deleting, they're gonna find my tricks and they're gonna delete all their videos, but whatever. Yeah, I always wanted to make a video about how to start an archive, but whatever. I gotta get back on track. I keep on going on tangents. So yeah, I started it in like March. It was pretty steady subscriber growth for a while. Like I probably by April had like 50 subscribers. It was pretty positive then. Like I only started running into problems once it got to like 200-ish. So yeah, I just kept on uploading consistently for a few months. People really liked it. They got a lot of positive feedback. I tried to kind of keep my identity out of it at first. But then I eventually just kind of embraced it because people just started to know it was me anyways, because I told like one person, they told everybody. So yeah, I originally started it then. The first major problem I ran into was I was on a Discord call with a lot of people and a major cardist. If you're watching this, you know who you are. And we were talking about it, and I was going to put their videos up. And this is the first time I really asked for permission to upload a video because honestly, I know everybody's gonna be like, just ask permission to put the videos. If you ask people to put up the videos, they never say yes. I've only had one person say yes, and they made me wait months. So it was like, because there's like a move in it, but whatever. So yeah, I did it without asking because nobody would ever say yes. Like this would never work if I asked everybody. And I don't want to be rude, but that's just how it is. It's exactly like if you're gonna ask people to make tutorials on their moves, nobody's gonna say yes because they just don't want other people doing their stuff. So yeah, that I was on that Discord call, and that cardist did not appreciate that I was doing it. They were anti against it, and they said that it was the artist's property and that I needed to take all the videos down. After that Discord call, or maybe during it, I unlisted every single video on CarStreet Archive. And that was probably the darkest time for it, because I didn't know what to do. Like, you have this cartist that you're like so inspired by, just like kind of pushing you to shut down your YouTube channel that has been doing so much good for the community for so long now. And after that Discord, the cartist / magician / whatever biz, he made a story that was really inspiring to me. That was like, just like F all of the companies, just upload the videos. And I was like, you know what? I am. So I publicized everything. I kept on going and going, and I didn't really run into any issues for a while until lately. So it was all going well. And I don't know if you know, but on my personal channel, I like to make compilations of cartists. So I have like a comp. I used to have a compilation of James, and I think I might have had one of Trin, I don't know. And I had one of Nikita and all of those people. So I made those compilations. I sent one of these cartists a compilation I was making, and because I was proud of it, and I was like, hey, check it out, whatever. And they saw it, and they're like, that's really cool. I like that you're collecting my videos. But then they asked me to take it down. And I was like, okay. And then they realized I upload their videos to CarStreet Archive. So they're like, take those down too. And then they found out that I had a whole playlist of like all their videos, like the unlisted ones. And they're like, you need to private every single one of those unlisted videos and like everything. It was such a pain. And it was funny because this cartist like paid me off in like their videos, like their some of their like deleted clips. So that was also like a big name cartist. Like it was really weird. It's so weird that like my inspirations are coming down and then just like shutting down something. I don't know what to call it. It's kind of sad because I can't look at those people the same way as I used to. Mm-hmm. And that's really disheartening. Sometimes I wish I just didn't start the archive channel so that none of this crazy stuff would ever happen. But I know it's doing good for the community, and I don't plan on shutting it down ever. So something might happen. I have no idea. If Tobias or Oliver contact me, then it's over. But
yeah.
Yeah, and I had another cartist that around that time that we met for the first time on a Discord call, and we didn't really get off on the right foot. So we already kind of started like not I, at least I don't think he really likes me, but we don't really like each other all that much. Another major cartist, by the way. It's so sad. I just want to like admire you guys, but you got to stop coming down and like telling me to shut stuff down, please. I just want to have a peaceful champ, but whatever. They didn't tell me directly. I heard from some of their friends that they didn't really appreciate it, that I was putting up their stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll take it all down. So that's another cartist bites the dust. And took down all their videos, and yeah, those are all gone. Still, that to this day, they're probably still private. I don't know. Yeah, and it's been pretty much smooth sailing ever since. I've also had some people who really support it and are like really happy that I'm doing this stuff, and it's been really awesome. Like, I've made so many friends through sharing videos and like just getting closer and finding this stuff, and You know, it's a group goal. We all want to find Roots by Zach Mueller or all these things on, like, the bottom of the Carter iceberg. And it's so amazing to see all these people just being able to see these Carter videos that made our history. I don't think these people understand that these videos are the building block. These videos are what inspired people, what pulled people to do cardistry, and they're just taking them down like they're nothing. And they aren't nothing. No matter what you say, they're not nothing. These videos shape people's lives. If I hadn't seen Virtuoso videos or Nikita videos, I wouldn't be who I am today. So one video can make a difference in somebody's whole life. And I think that it's unfair to just take that down and not let that happen. That's just bothered me for a long time. On a brighter note, so if you lost a video that's gone, I got some tips for you to maybe find it. So if this is a big video, it was re-uploaded to Bilibili, VK, Youku, any Chinese or Russian YouTube page, because they can't watch videos on YouTube. They re-upload them there where they stay forever because the cardists can't take them down manually. Go there, search up the video. You might find it. You might get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky and you just find a ton of videos. Like one time, I found a whole channel with just all the old Tobias videos, every single one, and I was like, yes. if you're looking for an unlisted YouTube video, these are a little bit harder to find, but it's still possible. If you get lucky, you could search, if you go through a Cardist playlist, normally they have, playlists of videos. Like Trin has one like featuring me, and that used to have videos that he'd made that were unlisted in it. And like Lars had one and that type of stuff. So yeah, that's how I find some unlisted videos. I go through YouTube playlists. So if you just search up the cardistry video and then you put sort by playlist, if it's unlisted, you might actually find it, but it just takes a lot more work in searching. Another trick to do that is, there's like a place called unlistedvideos.com. So you can go there and search for it. Although that's not really the best resource, because people have to manually upload links and nobody's really uploading cardistry links to it. Mm-hmm. That's probably about it. I mean, I guess you could contact the creator directly, and sometimes they do it. I have friends who also collect videos, so if I don't have a video, I'll be like, hey, do you have blank video? And then sometimes you get lucky, they have it, and sometimes you just can't find it. I mean, some videos are lost forever to time, like the Alex Ricky CDC videos, those are gone. You can't find them anymore. It's a shame, but they're just gone. And yeah, those are the main ways I use, but I just go to people who archive videos and ask them, because that's probably the easiest way. So if you want a video, DM me, I might have it. I don't know.
On the footnote too, if you feel like you have a lot of videos, Reggie might be a good guy to reach out to.
Contact Reggie the Cardist. You might get featured on Cardist Archive. You might get that legendary Cardist Archive credit in the description.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Nah. It's. I think it's cool what you're doing. I obviously, you're super passionate about it, and I felt that just through you speaking just now. And I know the frustration, because I grew up in 2014, 2013, that's when I was getting into cardistry. Took a long time without it. Those videos are really hard to find now, and a lot of times they're uploaded by people, not by the original people. I can understand both sides of it. You want to preserve the history of it, and make sure to do it early so it doesn't actually disappear, yeah, like some of the stuff is starting to.
But you don't want to be a jerk.
But you don't want to be a jerk. You don't want to offend
take
these people.
People's stuff. Because yeah, those people are my inspirations. I mean, I've already kind of made enemies with some people in the cardistry community. I don't want that. I want everybody to be happy. I want the upper cardists to feel like they have rights. They're able to get their videos taken down if they want to. They just got to contact me. It's as simple as that. If you want your video down, instead of getting mad at me and like doing whatever, just contact me. I'll take it down. I don't want anybody to be upset. Because that's not what this is about. The Cardistry Archive is supposed to be a good thing, not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I will say about Fontaine Cards is, like, I love his YouTube channel, because
there's
some stuff privatized, but for the most part, like, everything he's ever uploaded is mostly there. Like,
well, even from Frankie Morales.
Yeah. Most of it.
Yeah. He also had, like, a Padiddle video that's, like, gone. I don't know where to find it.
But, like, he has stuff when he was close to your age at this point.
Yeah. Like,
and I love that.
But he deleted all of his Instagram clips. They're all gone. That's so true.
Recently, we kind of started doing some Midwest Cardistry jams in Indiana. So I've been there, too, from Cincinnati, Ohio. I make the trek up there. What has that experience been like for you? I'm being able to jam with other people in a group setting.
I just want you to realize how, like, lonely I was before, like, I got Instagram and stuff. Like, I was so desperate for another Cardist friend. Like, I was convinced there's no one in Indiana. No one in Indiana. No, like, literally no one. And I didn't realize until I stumbled upon Ohio Cardistry, like, the account. And I was like, there's actually people near me. And, like, people were following me, and I contacted them. And eventually we made Midwest Cardistry, which is a group chat. If you live in the Midwest and you are a cardist, contact me. I will add you to that group chat. So that has been the source of where we plan our jams. The jam itself, that was amazing. Like, Nate did an awesome job at organizing it, and it was so fun. I got so much video. It was just such a cool experience to see cardistry in person. Like, you don't realize it until you see it, but, like, somebody who can, like, do a Charlie Urquhart and, like, just do all this crazy stuff, it's just, it's amazing. I love it. And I wish that, like, that we'd have, like, one each month, but so far we've been very consistent, and I'm so happy about that. I'm probably just repeating myself, but I love it. I love that. Thank you, Nate. The second one was also very good. I got to meet Lucas Mills, for the first time. He was awesome. Like, he's near my age, so it's, like, different. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I met you, you're, like, way older than me. So it's awesome meeting a cardist, but meeting a cardist who's, like, your age, like, he's only 2 years older than me. That's the best. So, like, we were just sitting down and just, like, jamming constantly. We had so much fun. And, of course, Nate, like, brought all these rare decks, and we got to try them out. And, I got a ton of decks in that one. That's where I got the green Fontaines. And, yeah, it was so fun. I got to stay at this one for, like, 5 hours, so it was just constant.
But Reggie, just starting off with the creative process, the thing that we really focus on the show, as you know. How do you make moves? How do you get it done? What's your process?
How do I get it done? So it's either accidents, or I start with a theme or a grip or whatever, a moment. That's probably a better way of saying it.
And how long does it usually take for you to make a move? I know this differs for how people think when a move is completed, but that was a question someone specifically asked in the poll.
I mean, it varies a lot. Like, sometimes you have moves that you come up with just in one day, closer, opener, moment, done. Or you have moves that take a little bit longer to just kind of mess around with, and they go through a lot of phases. But I'd say on average, like, whenever I have a definite picture in my mind for a move, I've been practicing it. It's probably, like, 2 weeks to a month before, like, I have an idea in my head. I know this is ready, this is good. So it takes me about 2 weeks, a month to do it. That's but sometimes it's just a day. I mean, it's pretty random.
For sure. I know for me, a lot of my stuff is moment based, so it's like easy to make stuff in a day or two, as opposed to packet cuts, which I suck at.
Yeah, packet cuts, it takes so long to get the right balance. I remember Daniel Lin, he had like the tutorial series for like the Karcher boot camp, and he said that like this move like started with this opener, but it like completely changed to a different thing because he found a different way to get into a different grip. So it's like you have to fiddle around a lot with packet cuts. That's why I like making moment moves, because honestly they're a lot easier to make.
If you can conceptualize it, then it's like for moment moves, you just have to sit down and work at it. Sometimes you can get it really quickly. Sometimes you can't. You know a lot of moves, I feel like, especially for your age, much more than I do, for sure. What is your learning process for learning new moves or moves from other people?
All right. So I think whoever asked this is probably referencing like whenever I learned all of Nikita's moves or all of James's or whatever. Normally I get a performance, slow it all the way down, like I screen record it on my phone. I go through frame by frame, and I just hang on. I'll get a deck so I can kind of like show how I do it. So like for like Lucan or something, I'd like go for it frame by frame. And I just see, like, the grip that he does for each thing. So I'm like, straddle, pushes one card off. And then he does that card, spins, like, close. So it's like that. Moves with tutorials is a lot easier, especially if they have a slow-mo or a verbal tutorial. I work better with verbal tutorials personally, but I know other people love demos. So I just watch the tutorial. Normally, like for Moxie. All right, come on. Let me pull him up right now. That was not horrible, but not great. But whenever I do Moxie, I watch the tutorial multiple times at first, and I just like kind of practice getting into the grips. And then while I'm practicing it, normally I just like to watch the tutorial as I'm doing it, or I like to watch performances of it, so I kind of have a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's pretty simple. Just like slow down, or just watch the tutorial over and over again until you get it. It's just a lot of practice, a lot of knack.
Paired with that question was people wanted to know what you think your hardest move you've learned is.
Well, that's easy. That's anti-faro. I mean, anti-faro, I'm probably not even going to be able to pull it off now. That was a decent one. But anti-throw is just such a pain to learn. Like, it's just getting that springing right is a pain. But, like, an actual Cardist move, like, more Cardists would know. Of course, Naoki was really hard. Sorry, this deck is poop, so I really can't do anything with it right now. But, Naoki, Curly Q, insanely hard moves to get. I don't know, like maybe Mockingbird, I can barely do it, but I guess it counts. Oh yeah. Oh, look at that. Perfect. I can't. Yeah, if you're listening, I nailed that.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I can confirm. I just saw the best Mockingbird I've ever seen.
Yeah.
With anti-faro and curly Q too, I think you have a really good chance at messing up your decks too with how much you have to practice them, especially anti-faro, I think.
I just want to demonstrate this. So if you do curly Q, what happens? That was a nice curly Q. What happens is this part of your deck gets bent down and the rest stays flat. So if you like swing cut it, well, it doesn't really work with a poop deck, but it has like that gap. Like if you bent the deck up, it is like that gap. It's so annoying. I hate it.
Yeah. So learning new moves too can kind of just destroy decks, especially depending on the move. Speaking of decks, one of the other popular questions was just what is like one of the oldest decks you have? What is one of like the newest decks you have, one that you've been joining recently?
Like my first custom one was these. the Bicycle like Shadow Masters, which, by the way, these are horrible. Like, don't buy decks with black edges because they get so frayed. But I powdered them, so now they're cool. There we go. Now I can nail a good Naoki. But yeah, this is my first deck. A deck I've been enjoying recently is these, which are, this is my newest deck, like the one I got the latest. Mm-hmm. These are the Komorebi Louisianans. I'm gonna turn down my light a little bit so maybe you can see them a little bit better. But these, I also got like some, like anyone, like these dots. These are really cool.
On the topics of decks and decks that we own, someone wanted to know how you got the first five Supreme backs for Fontaine, because they are very hard to find.
It is a long story, especially for one of them. The red Fontaine, that is a long story. So I'll try to paraphrase it as much as possible. So if you guys don't know me, I was able to collect all of the original five Fontaines. They're called the Supreme backs because they say Supreme back at the top. So I got the original five, so the red, blue, black, pink, and greens. The red ones, that's the long story. Basically, I found a guy on the Cardistry Discord who was selling like these pooped red Fontaines. Like, they are totally, the box is like ripped. I put like tape on it. And he was selling it for like $25.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot more to the story. Like, it was an insane thing. But yeah, I ended up getting those for $25 because this guy was trying to get rid of all of his collection. The blue and the pinks, I was able to get from Kevin Ho. For retail price, actually. He was nice enough to sell them to me at retail. And they're both opened. I got all of these opened except for the blacks, which probably the lamest story. But, these two I got from Kevin Ho for $15 each. These were barely used, but these were pretty beat up. But very nice of him. Thank you, Kevin, if you're watching this. The blacks, this one's simple. Grandpa got them for me for Christmas, sealed. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Grandpa, if you're watching this. You probably aren't.
Thank you, Grandpa. That's really cool. Like, I can't imagine when I was growing up, my parents ever, or grandparents, buying me something cardistry related.
Yeah, my parents are really super supportive. It's really nice. And then lastly, Green Fontaines. I traded Elijah from Card Perfect Magician some like OG black King playing cards, like the ones from 2015, which I didn't really want. He didn't really want the Green Fontaines, so we just traded them. These are basically brand new too, so.
Nice. Yeah, and if you're listening and you don't, I think most people would know Fontaine if you're listening to this, because this is a cardistry heavy podcast, but those are expensive decks, especially the red can go for like hundreds of dollars.
Oh yeah, even sealed, it's like $1,000. Like, this whole, if these were all sealed, this would, I don't know, I could see this going for like $2,000, $1,500, around that. But that's if they were all sealed. I'd probably sell them all now for like $200, but I would never sell them because they're my babies.
Fontaine makes some of the best cardistry videos, and this is just a poor segment, little segue into the next question, which is, what is your favorite cardistry video?
Oh, that is so hard. There's so many. It's hard to pick one favorite because all of them like impact me so differently. Like, the Virtuoso ones I love because they were the ones that like pulled me in to cardistry. Like, the verts were without the verts, I would not be a cardist. I would still be a magician, a really bad magician. But, I don't know. My favorite font, or not my favorite font video. My favorite video, probably of all time, is probably XCM by Nolan Naviv. That video is just so good, and I just rewatch it every time. I'm just amazed at their creativity. They're so good. So yeah, Nolan Naviv, probably best artist alive. Close, but like a close second would probably be Fontaine Fam or Cardistry High. Like those are, I love them. Cardistry High is just such a. It was another one of those videos that like just got me into a whole new genre of cardistry. In fact, Noel, who was in that video, was like the first cardist I learned all of his moves because I was a Noel fanboy for a while before I got into Instagram. And Zach's isolations and that insane. Same thing with Fontaine Fan.
I think just like two of those that you just mentioned, XCM and Fontaine Fam. I think it's cool that there's almost becoming like spiritual successors to videos
Oh
now.
yeah, Fontaine Forever and Green by Nolan Aviv. Yeah, it's really weird that there's videos honoring those videos. Like those videos only came out in 2018 and 2015, and they already have like I had like sequels.
Reggie, thank you for being on the show. At the end of the
Thank
show, I
you.
like to do what I call roll out the close-up pad. So, is there anything you want to promote real quick before we head out?
Plug.
By the way.
Follow me on Instagram at Reggie underscore the underscore Cardis. I also have a secondary account that not a lot of people know about. It's just Reggie underscore the underscore Cardist.exe. Of course, Cardistry Archive, go check out that on YouTube. You probably already know about it if you're watching the podcast. Yeah, that's probably about it. Thank you for letting me be on the show. I was telling him before this, like this was a dream of mine to be on here. Like there's best cardist alive, win a major competition, and I can't remember the other ones, but there's like get on Caleb's podcast because I've always wanted to be interviewed for Cardistry, so thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for being here. I really love to hear that. That's amazing. Obviously, it's been a pleasure to talk with you again. And
YouTubes.
stay shuffling. I don't know how to end these. I forget. It's been a while.
Stay shoveling, kids.
Hey, shuffling, young kids.